today. So every day we start fresh because we can't affect the past, but we damn sure can make a difference today.
Welcome to episode 104 of Shop Talk. Carrie.
And Jennifer here.
And guys, we don't really have any words to say about this week's episode of The Rookie. I mean, except for the recap that we're going to get into below.
The long one.
Yeah, it is. But we don't, I mean, listen, like, we have some news to go through first. But since, you know, if the rookie cast members got care packages for the Chenford breakup, consider this our therapy session. Like, we're all going to get through this together, okay?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to make it work.
To be fair, we already had our ice cream.
That's true.
I had mine tonight before
recording. Yes, as did I. Yeah.
So we had ice cream. It just wasn't the same. And we didn't know that the rookie cast was going to get some, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we do have, like Carrie said, some news to get through. It's actually quite a bit of news.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the TV Line was the biggest outlet that did the Lord's work this week.
Yeah.
They were like, here's everything for the rookie. So first of all, the rookie, as we know, is going to be on like a 2-week break until April 30th. And so they're re-airing 603 next week and then 604 the following week on April 23rd. So it'll be fun to kind of just have some chill downtime. Remember happier times with Chenford, you know? Yeah. Do you want to take us through the first bit of news, like from the TV Line?
TV Line talked to Eric before the episode, and there was one thing that we wanted to share, and the question was, like, were you surprised that Tim had made such a vow of revenge years ago? And Eric's answer was not necessarily. He always thinks he's doing things for the best interest of people around him, the people that he cares about. It's not the fact that he wanted to break the law or thinks he's above the law. It's just that he's a loyalist and he wants to put the people he cares about over his own safety and self-interests. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then TV Guy talked to Melissa. Apparently this was like at the TCAs. This one was hours before the episode aired. But like they talked to her also at the TCAs. And she said that this storyline was something that her, Eric, and Alexi have been building up to for most of the sixth season. And Melissa was like, I don't know if I should say this, but it's something that Eric has been pushing for a minute because he's really interested in building that relationship. And that's what we want to do. We want to build a story that people can follow in grief and be joyful with. And then Melissa was like, we didn't know how it was going to unfold. Knew that the arc was like what they wanted to take in, but all the relationships on the show are pretty happy. So like there needed to be some type of relationship that like can represent another color of how relationships can unfold and not be harmonious all the time. So, and like, apparently when Eric and Melissa spoke with Max from TV Guide at the TCAs, she mentioned that there were a couple of moments while shooting this week's episode, because they were shooting this episode like around the time they were doing TCAs, where they had to like check in with each other as scene partners because they were about to like act out a particularly vulnerable scene. And Max asks if it was about the breakup scene, but Melissa says there were actually two separate moments. So she wanted to like have an aside with Eric, and that was definitely about the breakup scene. And then there were changes made like on the day that they were trying to layer in. And she was talking about Bill Rowe, the director, and like how he trusts them and was kind of like, okay, let's workshop it. But then in the breakup scene too, Melissa said that Lucy says something to the effect that like Tim doesn't get to lie to her. And she was like, you know, there's so much trust between them that it did feel like a cheat in a lot of ways. But suddenly he has this moment and it's like they don't have any rapport anymore. So, but then I thought it was really interesting because Max from TV Guide said for most of the season, Tim's been the only person consistently in Lucy's corner. How do you think the lack of support from that Lucy has received from people around her, paired with Tim's sudden disappearance, has affected her emotionally? And Melissa said that she's really curious to see how it resolves, or if it does. There's so many incredible characters and storylines on our show that not every single character can be populated like with their support network. So from one perspective, when she's in scenes, it feels isolating and a little bit like, oh wow, like she's really going through the ringer. And all of the people that she knows that love her and support her are just kind of like dropping out of the field of view. But then, Melissa had said like, in her for her own sanity as the character, like she tries to imagine that Lucy has some girlfriends like on the side, like not necessarily working the same job as her. And every character like has that whole world that we don't even know about. So in this part of the season, we're really gonna get to see who those people are. But yeah, so and then this was kind of covered in a couple of the other articles, but like how will Chenford deal with the fallout? And Melissa, she was so real for this. She's like, given the way the breakup goes, what else is there to say? It's a really painful breakup. What else can you say when there's transgressions of this nature? They are dangerous, literally, speaking from Lucy's perspective. It doesn't matter how much she wants to dress it up in virtue, it's like stonewalling. It looks like he's shutting her out, blocking her off. But Melissa said that Lucy has like too much sense of self to wallow in it. And so she's going to be hurt about it. But she was in a barrel with her life being risked. So suddenly, and she was suddenly like, we're good. So she has a strong sense of self and capable of holding her pain and living her life, which I thought was interesting. And then Max also asked if fans should be worried about Ray reappearing in the later in the season, and Melissa said not to count him out. He's a pretty formidable character, so don't count him out whether he's in this season or another. Which, I mean, it's kind of typical for the rookie. They've done this before. So, and then there was a lot in this interview. Max asked if with Lucy essentially failing her detective's exam, like what does the setback mean for Lucy's future in policing? And Melissa said, like, logistically, how many detectives can there be on a cop show? And she thinks it's a combination of the story and practicality coming together. And let's be real, Lucy's always winning. So it's been exciting as an actor to explore what it looks like to have a character who's usually so irrepressibly joyful and optimistic just fall flat. And not be able to charm her way out of the situation, which is a really good point. It's a really good point. But also like give our girl Lucy something because please. But then Max had asked like if there's something that she's still hoping to explore with Lucy in the future seasons of the show. And Melissa said that she still has a lot of questions about who Lucy is. She loves the structure and format of the show, but she's excited to see what the writers have in store. So I guess we'll see. And all of this is being talked about without a season 7, too. So, which, like, ABC, get on that, please.
Yeah,
Please.
for sure. Yeah. And then we had, TV Line did the preview interview, and now we have the postmortem with Eric, and the mindset they had, in terms of playing Tim was that, he has spiraled down. He's still trying to protect those around him, but even though he thinks he's, doing a good thing by kind of shutting everyone out, it's obviously his actions are obviously hurtful for people. And so he says that we are going to get a humbled Tim moving forward. And it's going to kind of, he's going to step up at the right moments, and, it'll kind of, we'll get to see how he is humbled in his personal life and then how he approaches things going forward. And then in terms of, will he reach out to Lucy when things are kind of, dormant? He has to, figure out things for himself and kind of get to a place of more acceptance, which is something that he's never been really comfortable doing. And so he kind of has to, find out why he is the way he is before he can, go back into that relationship. And Eric and Melissa, prepared for the breakup scene, obviously. I just think it's so great that Melissa likes to talk things through, which is, like her character Lucy does as well. And
I could see Eric kind of getting annoyed with it too, and just like, let's play it out. Like, let's just see.
well,
Go
because
with
he
it.
seems, he literally was like, he likes to sometimes find it in the moment and like kind of let a lot of things, come up, kind of on the spot, and to, like you said, play it out. And they both kind of came to terms with what they wanted to accomplish in that scene, and just kind of a lot of, raw emotion came out that they didn't even anticipate. And that's one of the great things that, is that happens when they work together. And so they trust each other and allow themselves to, just like really wade into a scene and just let it play out. And he's excited to see Tim shift into this next phase of exploring who he is and, what he can do down the road. In terms of hoping that there is a season seven so they can kind of further explore these storylines as time goes on.
Yes.
So.
And then TV Line again published Matt's inside line today, like a few hours before, with it, and it like covers a bunch of different TV shows, but there was a question for The Rookie in there, and it said, are Lucy and Tim gonna get back together on The Rookie? And Matt's inside line basically said, you better be rooting for season seven renewal. So there's that. Again, ABC, get on it. We know that The Rookie is killing it in the numbers. So, like, what are you waiting for? I'm pretty sure that at this point they just do this just to mess with us and like have fun. Because they're like, they know, I don't know. I guess you can never be too safe, but like, also at the same
That's
time,
fair.
just renew us, please. But apparently Eric teased that the season six finale is big and there's a lot of reveals. And as far as Tim and Lucy, they have some fun stuff together, including another great action sequence, which we've kind of seen behind the scenes for. I don't know.
A little bit, yeah.
And it leaves you with a nice sort of, which I'm a little confused by, but okay. I wouldn't say closure or a guarantee of anything, but it leaves it in a place where there's stuff to talk about.
Oh, maybe so it's like it's,
Like, will they, won't they?
yeah.
Yeah. Even more of a reason why we need a season seven renewal. One, I need to know if they're fine, but also I just want my faves back, please.
Well, and
Like,
like I don't even really know. I mean, I don't know if it's like maybe just a me thing or not. I don't know. I haven't really seen a lot of the fan reaction or anything on online, but like since I was so unprepared for said breakup to occur in this episode, let alone in this season, I don't even know what to do with that information of will they, won't they, because I wasn't even anticipating that question
yeah.
to come up anyway in the first place. So I don't know, gosh, because I
Yeah.
know some people are wondering, like, okay, we really do need that, season renewal now.
Yeah. I'm
Oh.
really worried about like Chenford getting back together. Like I have a feeling that it'll happen. I
I
have a
mean,
feeling.
I have faith. I just still I'm just like in the thrown for a loop
Yeah.
category
Oh
of
yeah,
my
same.
emotional roller coaster.
Same.
So.
And then the last bit of news that we have, Eric spoke to the rep And these are the highlights because there was a lot. It was a lot of just like air quotes. So we'll retweet it on Twitter. That was like the last one that we hadn't tweeted or reshared yet. And basically, Eric didn't know that anything was coming in regards to them separating the season when they officially just got together last season. Yeah, I didn't expect it. But also, like, it kind of tracks for TV shows, I feel like. Like, the characters will finally get together, and then it's like, just kidding. We're gonna pull them away. Like either one's gonna like have issues or they're gonna break up or like whatever. But Eric did know that there was gonna be some trouble in store this season, and he welcomed it, which I thought was kind of funny. But also like it's drama. Like, how are you just not gonna have drama? And so he also said, you're gonna have ups and downs, you're gonna have struggles. Tim's a very complicated individual. So he always knew that there would be some bumps in the road this season. And then he also said that he doesn't think that Tim walked out there fully intending to break up with Lucy, but he thinks it could have been something like, I need some space. But he looks at her and there's just like so much love for her, and he doesn't want to hurt her, but Tim also just doesn't feel like he's good enough. So Eric also said that he thinks Tim got like more definitive in his decision, like during the middle of the scene. Like, it became more clear to Tim. And then I thought it was interesting because he like followed up and he said during the middle of the scene, a switch flips and Eric thinks it's because Tim had like sort of spiraled. And doesn't really know if he's okay with himself, which it makes sense. I mean, just the way that he was like acting in the scene, he was like, I have to get this out because I don't know if I can continue. But yeah, so Eric also said that he thinks things could have gone in a different way, like we said. And they could have gotten stronger as a couple if the ghost from Tim's past and immaturity, quote unquote, in relationships wasn't a thing.
Oh, so if like the ghosts of like Tim's past didn't come back to haunt them, and if immaturity was not a general thing in relationships, maybe. I don't know. I
It's
mean,
got
because
to
they
be
both,
because I don't
I mean,
think
they,
Tim was immature.
yeah. Well, I mean, but I mean, they both were going back and forth and, like lying to each other, not, and then just like, I think just like maybe letting their emotions run the show in terms of, trying to like rationalize things, which I mean, it's totally understandable. It's an emotional time for the both of them, but maybe that's what it means. I don't know. Hey, Eric, if you ever listen to this, can you tell us? Just kidding. But seriously, though, like,
Yeah, no,
help.
seriously. I would also be very curious to see, and I'm sure that we will on April 30th. We just have to wait a few weeks. Because one of the other interviews was like, so one of them was saying, like, ooh, Chenford's broken up. Like, there's gonna be kind of talk about it. I want to know what Angela's got to say about this because she's kind of been in it like all this episode. Like, she was like, you should tell Lucy. Like, of course, you can't have Lucy in it, whatever. And then, like, even with all the other Chenford stuff, like when they were arguing a couple episodes back, and she's like, I'll get my popcorn and I'll ride along. And Tim's like, you're not funny. She's kind of always been around Chenford's orbit. So, like, I would be really curious to know, like, how Angela perceives all of this. And if she thinks, like, Tim's in the right, or if she's hurting for Lucy. Like, it would be very interesting to see Angela's perspective. So,
I mean, I think speaking of that, I think our friend M on Twitter had said that, like, possibly they can, build Chenford's relationship back up and we could get, all the things that we missed the first time around. But I think it'll just be really interesting that they are kind of, I don't know if inverting it's the right word or not, or just doing the opposite, where they're gonna have Lucy obviously is gonna, maybe talk to Gray, or like mention it to Gray, and then like, possibly maybe Tim will talk to Angela. Like, I don't, so it's like they kind of will have everyone knowing about their relationship ending as opposed to it starting originally.
Oh, I don't think anyone's gonna get out of not knowing. I mean, they work in the same district, and now he's gonna be put back on the patrol. So, like, what? Okay, I do wonder. And maybe someone else caught this in the promo. Does he still have his sergeant stripes though? He has to, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, I would think, like, yeah, they might knock him out of Metro, but they're not gonna take away his rank. I wouldn't think.
I mean, well, I don't know. I didn't catch it. I mean, I get, well, yeah, because he's been a sergeant, like, on patrol before he got the
Right.
Metro position. Anyway, granted, it wasn't for very long, but
I can't play this promo
yeah,
without
I don't know.
the song starting. I can't. Okay, wait. I'm just going to look because there's no promo photos yet, which we probably won't get them until April 30th at like 4 p.m. Central Time. So yeah,
Right, which is what
he,
happened with this one.
yeah, and the last one, he does still have his like sergeant stripes. So unless that's like a costume snafu, which I highly doubt it,
I
he's
mean,
fine. He's just taken out of Metro, which
I mean,
makes
you never
sense.
know. Eric could post a behind the scenes picture again and accidentally spoil
True,
it.
true.
So.
Yeah. And it does look like he's talking to Angela. The promo last night, I was just like reeling from everything. So, like, I watched it, but I was like, I'm definitely gonna have to go back and watch that again.
I still have not seen the full thing, but people are obviously want April 30th to be here now.
Yeah. Listen, I just want Friday to be here though for this week.
Mood.
I just want it.
So
But
true.
yeah, so the last bit of the wrap article, and like I said, we'll retweet it because there was a lot in it, so we're only covering a little bit. We're gonna see the return of super strict Bradford. Eric promises some hope for the character, even in a moment of darkness. And he'll go back to being a bit of badass, but we'll also see him see a version of Tim, like where he's open to sort of getting help and trying to unpack some of his issues, and hopefully it'll make a better person and cop for him, which is, I don't see Tim like being open to getting any kind of help,
Well,
but
I mean,
maybe that's where,
maybe that's how he works with Danielle then,
yeah,
since she's
oh,
the
it's gotta be,
therapist. I don't
but
know.
like maybe that's part of him being a changed person after dating Lucy or something, or like going through all that with his dad. Like he's kind of like, yeah, I do need to talk to someone. Like I can't just let it all bottle up. So
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. I also thought it was interesting in the promo how we saw Danielle's character writing in the back of the shop. I was like, she's allowed to go out in the fields like that? Like, I don't know. But I guess we did see Nolan's teacher, so why not?
Yeah, that's what it reminded me
Yeah.
of. Yeah, I was like, now wait a minute, and then and then I already forget Lucy's friend from undercover school. He rode in the back that one time
Oh,
of
yeah.
the sh I just can't, or Noah, was that his name? Am I totally wrong? I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head now, if that was his name or not, but
We don't know who's riding with Tim, though. Oh, yeah, we do. Oh, it's Aaron. Oh, that'll be awkward.
oh God. Oh, Bradson reuniting. Gotta love it.
Branson reuniting, but also after all the Blair and Aaron awkward.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of nicknames though, can we talk about how Jenna called Baylin Jaylee?
Yes.
When she was like Jaylee baby, and I was like, that's not,
Oh.
I mean, it technically works, but also it just, I mean, like Jaylee in any context doesn't really
Yeah.
sound that great.
So you were like, didn't we come up with Balin? And I feel like we might have, but I also don't want to give us all the credit for that. But I do
No, I don't
remember
know.
talking about their ship name, and we were like, you can't call them Nayli because of One Tree Hill.
Right.
But that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like we did say Jaylee at one point, and we were like, that just sounds weird. And
Yeah.
then somewhere along the lines, we settled on Balin. Again, I don't want to give us credit because someone else could have easily come up with it, came up
Yeah.
with it, but
Again, if anyone knows who came up with it, or if you just want to like yell at us on Twitter and be like, you goofballs, don't you remember you came up with it? Like, that's totally fine
yeah.
too. But just like,
Honestly,
let us
like
know.
I forget. But then we were also talking about how many other like shit names that we came up with. Like, honestly, not even like taking it that seriously, just like shooting
No.
it like on the pod and
Yeah.
just being like, whatever. Bradson, Brolin,
Yeah.
Dayla. You reminded
Yeah.
me about Dayla. I was like, wow, I'm a fake fan. I forgot all about them.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just, yeah, I don't know. Just because I don't need another like Toosey versus Chenford thing, you know? Like, I just want it. I just thought it was so funny, just like Jenna of all people, like bringing out a different name. Just
But the
talking
rookie
about.
accounts, have they used Valen before? I don't think so. They've used Chenford and Wolpez, but they,
Yeah.
like, there was that one Valentine's Day post or whatever that they did, and they didn't use like two ship names. Like, they're definitely something that just the fans use, at least in the rookies case, because there's other shows where like even the show accounts get into it. But yeah, I don't know. It's been a wild week, and it's only Wednesday. It's been a wild week in terms of rookie news. Like, it was, I mean, between the promo photos dropping later and just like everything, it was kind of crazy. So, and then we had this wild ride of an episode. We'll start off with John and Selena and the cold open, because we have to talk about the cold open. I mean,
Have
literally
to.
amazing, top
It
tier.
was the only moment of levity we might have
It
gotten
really
in this
was. It
whole
really
entire
was.
thing.
And it was fitting that it was in the like very first scene. Okay, rewatching it though, I was confused because like the cold open, John and Selena are driving, right? And then we like open the episode and John's like sleeping in bed. So I'm like, is the cold open like at his shift that day? And they're just like pulling it forward to be the cold open? Or
I just assumed that it was like his most recent shift, and then he was like off, you know, like it just, you know, the next day he woke up and Bailey was there.
I saw someone tweet like, being a rookie fan, you cannot think about the timeline because it will just screw you up. I was like, that's very true. But rewatching it, I was like, I just have questions because this isn't the first time it's happened. And then, like, we cut to see Selena and John driving at the shop again. So I'm like, is that part of the same shift? And we just don't know. And it's hard to say because their clothes and their hairstyles are always the same. So, yeah. But Selena and John are driving. She's asking him if he's had roommates and the proper etiquette when they've had sleepovers. And John cuts to the chase and he's like, are you seeing a little bit too much of the boyfriend? And she's like, I'm seeing this morning I got an eyeful of Willy Wonka. And I was like, that's a new one. Okay. And John's like, yeah, you need to set some boundaries. And Selena's like, I have regularly. And she's like, I just need to move out. I just need to move out. So then their conversation is interrupted when another shop car goes speeding by them. And John radios dispatch for assistance on what's going on. And they're like, nothing. Like, that one shouldn't be moving. And so they roll up to the shop at a stoplight. And someone who's not a cop is in the car. And I wonder how John knew that it was Smitty's car.
That's
But
what I was gonna say. I was like, how the heck did he know it was
like maybe
Smitty?
there's like some number on the side and they because they're always like in the same car. So maybe they're like that's just their squad car. But John like radios over and tells Smitty to go to another channel. And John's like, where's your shop right now? And Smitty's like, what do you mean? It's right out here. And he walks outside the store. Or whatever he's in to see that it's stolen. And it's like raining. And Smitty's like, come on, man. I was like, only Smitty, only Quigley Smitty would have his shop stolen. I
I mean,
love.
I'm pretty sure he was in like a convenience store or something.
Yeah.
Like, I would
He was
assume like
getting
getting snacks or
snacks.
something. Yeah, the man just, you know, needs snacks again. As
Yeah.
if the ones in the therapy office were not enough.
I would assume that it's a different day though, because it was raining. So I don't know. But like, Smitty, you are just something else. I don't know. I like lost it when I was watching that. And my mom's sitting there watching it with me. And she's just like, okay. I'm like, you don't understand this man. It's hilarious. And literally, for what? Like, this character is so funny. So then after the cold open, John and Selena are patrolling and after John tells her that Bailey wants to have a baby, Selena gathers that he doesn't because he's older, is how she says it. And she's like, you know, you just feel like your child raising years are behind you, right? And John's like, I loved raising Henry, but there's a lot of things that I want to accomplish on the job. And I don't have a lot of time left because, yes, I am older. And Selena understands that and tells Sean that has he seen babies? They're so cute. And like he should have three. And I'm like, we need Aunt Selena. Like, we need
Yeah.
it. I would love to see her with Lopez's kids or Nyla's kids, but I don't think she's close enough to them yet to where that would happen. So, I mean, the interaction she's had with them, they're like kind of reprimanding her. So that probably won't be happening. But
Yeah.
John's like, yeah, I'm deleting Bailey's number from your phone. Which, like, can we assume that Bailey's texted Selena? Like, I don't know about this subject. So then John and Selena get an assignment and they're gonna go assist City Safe LA with the cleanup of an encampment for unhoused residents. And so LA County Sheriff is bringing a group of inmates to help too, which to me did not seem like that great of an idea. I was
No.
like, inmates to help like unhoused residents.
I mean, I get it, but also there are like specific, like if you have, like assigned community service,
Yeah.
like you do that. And then there are, like you can get like jobs within incarceration
Like to me,
too.
I was just like, this is asking for a lot of things to go wrong.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, because like, I don't know. I mean, they're inmates. And then like, you've also got unhoused residents. I don't know. I was just like, on my second rewatch, I was like, this. I don't, we could have had a case come out of this right here. Like, instead, we got two cases going off of it, but that's a whole other story. So we see Aaron there stopping the lady from bringing drinks to her daughter and friends. We then find out that the daughter is one of the inmates. They hug, the daughter tells her she smells good, like it's a whole reunion. And the cop from prison is trying to put a stop to this, but Selena, she's so blunt and outgoing, and she just does not care. She asks what the harm is. She's like, we're literally surrounded by police. Like, they're fine. And he's like, you're not the one that has to search her for contraband, though, after. And so the daughter tells the mom that she'll see her in 2 weeks. And no, before the daughter walks away, she tells her mom, or so. No, so the daughter walks away, and then the mom also like walks away, but not before telling Aaron specifically, I hope you have a horrible day. So, yeah.
Yeah, and Aaron just throws his arms up and he's like,
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
man.
So then John's like helping Aaron with the case that he's gonna catch, which Carrie will talk about. But when he's done doing that, Selena calls out for him and runs over. And John's like, what now? Like, we were literally here to help clean up. Like, why are we catching cases? Which is my question too, because we could have had a good portion of this being an episode, like I don't know. And so she found a prisoner vest in the garbage. And so they have prisoner escapee on their hands. Cool. So the cop from the prison tells Selena that the missing inmate is Teresa Vaughn, a girl that Selena allowed to make contact with a potential accomplice. And again, Selena is like, I don't give any F's. And she quips back and she's like, so I'm getting blamed for the job that you failed to do. And she's not wrong. I mean, he could have held her back too. Like, he literally stood there and yelled at the inmate and did not do anything else. Now, granted, he had a bunch of other inmates, but I gotta assume that he's not on his own when he's transporting them and even being there. So, like, okay. But then again, the girl like ran up to her mom and there were other cops standing there and they didn't really stop her. So they're kind of both in the wrong. But John stops them from playing the blame game because they have a fugitive to find. And John agrees that it's likely her mom that helped her escape. So they put out a bolo for Teresa and Selena asks why she was incarcerated. Turns out it was for assault. And she only has 10 days left in her sentence. So John's like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, trying to escape would at least add a year to her sentence. Like, why risk it? So later on, Selena's like, Teresa escaping doesn't make any sense. Like, she was serving 6 months for assault. on a woman she claimed was hooking up with her boyfriend, and then they get a call from dispatch. And Brenda, Teresa's mom, was pulled over by another unit, and there was no sign of Teresa there. So John and Selena roll up, and John sends Officer Jan to Brenda's house in case Teresa decides to show up there. Brenda's like, I understand how this looks, but claims she has nothing to do with Teresa escaping. She has no idea where she would go either. So John asks if Brenda sent anything to Teresa. But it just happens to be a coincidence that, she escaped. And so John's like, well, what about the boyfriend? Like, would he help Teresa? And the mom's like, no, he broke up with her after she attacked Doreen. And Brenda then comes to a realization, and she's like, yeah, Teresa's still pissed off about the affair. And she told Brenda that she was planning on doing some permanent damage to Doreen when she got out. So they roll up to Doreen. They tell her that Teresa escaped, but Doreen's like, yeah, I know, she was already here. And so she apologized for everything and said she should have listened to Doreen when she said she didn't hook up with Mike, but Teresa said she knew who had the affair with him. And so, like, later on in the episode, Selena and John, or Selena tells John that she knows who was sleeping with Teresa's boyfriend. And so she shows John a picture, and he remembers that Teresa's mom was wearing a shirt in the picture. Somehow that leads them to believe that it was the mom, like it was the whole thing. And so, Teresa, I guess, realized that Brenda smelled like her boyfriend after, and that's why she escaped. And so Selena then wonders why she went and apologized to Doreen first and not to go to her mom. But John's like, duh, the shop's been in front of Brenda's house the entire time. So, like, why did Teresa go there?
I was also wondering that, but I'm not gonna lie, I didn't, and I didn't catch that on my watch,
It
on
took me
either
a
of my
minute.
watches.
It took me a minute. And then I was like, it does make sense though. Like, she's not gonna go back. But, like, I mean, I guess, yeah, she has to assume that the shop would be there.
Mean,
So,
you'd think she would have been able to get there though if she actually had gone there first, given
yeah.
that she had like a head start on them by like,
Yeah.
half an hour at least or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But so Selena and John arrive at Mike's place. Brenda's there, and so is Teresa. And Teresa's not happy. We then find out this was like the biggest plot twist of all. Like, I was like, what are we doing right now? Like,
Yeah, I was like,
what? This is
shut up.
wild.
No way.
We find out that Mike got Brenda pregnant, which, watching it on the second rewatch, I was like, she has to be like a really young mom then. Like, I don't know. Like, I was like, I'm trying to piece this all together. And at this point, I'm like, I just can't, because I just have to believe in the fictional world that is the rookie. And then Teresa's all pissed. I mean, as one would be, right? And she tells Mike, she's like, I thought you didn't even want kids. And Selena's like, I'm with Teresa at this point, which, me too. Like, honestly, this is so messed up. So John's like, Selena, we're gonna split up. I'll go around back. And then Selena, because at first they just see a bat, and John's like, it's just a bat, it's fine. Like, we don't have to worry that much. I'm like, it's still a bat. She can still do damage. She's literally in prison, dude. Like, she's, yeah. So then Selena sees a gun in Teresa's waistband, which Selena points it out, not even John. We won't even go there. And John's like, yeah, so go back to the shop, go come in hot, like after 30 seconds with the lights and sirens on. John's waiting at the door. This was a very smart moment for him. And then I also was like, it's also a very John Nolan thing. He's waiting at the door, squirts soap that's just conveniently placed out
I
there.
thought it was, can I just say that? I thought it was gasoline. And I was like, why is he gonna light the house on fire? I was like, what good would that possibly do? And then as soon as she slipped on it, I was like, oh, so,
Yeah.
okay. I
Yeah.
felt really dumb in that moment, but continue.
But it also begs the question as to why there's soap out there. I mean, there's a car right there too, so I guess maybe he was like washing the car. I don't know. It looks like dish soap to me though, like some Ajax or like Palma, like Dawn or something. And so Teresa comes running out, falls off the stoop thanks to the soap. And then, like, Brenda's just at the door. And as John's like telling Teresa she's arrested, he tells Brenda, "For the record, you're a terrible mother." Which, yeah. So that's kind of the end of the case, which I was like waiting for more just because of like all the wild twists that it had taken us on. But John and Selena are walking out after shift, and Selena says she's gonna go hide in her room and wear blinders to the kitchen all weekend, which I would too, honestly. That's a little much for me. And she asks him what's going on with the baby situation. And now he says having a kid has been the greatest joy of his life. And he kind of looks off and he's like, "Why would I deny that for Bailey?" and walks away, leaving Selena smiling. She's just kind of like in shock. So, yeah, that's kind of where we left off with John and Selena. We'll finish up the Baylen baby stuff later, but yeah, it was an interesting case for sure. So.
And then we also had a different case for, well, it started with Aaron and then Nyla got involved. So we got them working together again. And as Jennifer mentioned earlier, it's starts out in the encampment because Aaron's also there helping. And there's a homeless individual arguing with a volunteer like over his bag, and Aaron steps in to defuse the situation. And when he lets the man hold on to the bag, he discovers that it's has a like inscription on it, and it belongs to Karina Lewis. And so he calls John over and asks him if he, remembers that case. And John kind of recaps it very quickly and, was saying, yeah, she was a college gymnast who was murdered by her boyfriend, but her body was never found. The guy swears that he just found the bag. He didn't steal it, nor did he have any involvement in Karina's murder. And Nyla had arrived. And basically asked him the same thing, and he reiterates that he found the bag. He actually found it at Griffith Park. He can show them where. And so Nyla gets Aaron to join them. And so as the three of them are walking around the park, Aaron's reviewing Karina's case file, and she disappeared 19 months ago. Her boyfriend confessed to strangling her in his Culver City apartment. And the guy finally finds it was apparently a flat rock. I don't really know why they had to have that distinction, but that's where the bag was. But since at the time it was raining, it could have been dislodged, and like some of the things that were in the backpack could have gone downhill, because at the time he said he only found a couple of school books inside. Well, when Nyla and Aaron follow the trail, kind of going behind the rock and down the hill, they actually end up finding Karina's remains. And they her ID was there, so they were able to positively identify her. But the twist is that she has a bullet wound in her head. Nyla estimates it could be from a 22 or a 38. So then they're left wondering why her boyfriend at the time confessed to murdering her, but then but why lie about the method that it was done? And so they take this information to the DA's office and meet with Sean Del Monte. So we get to see Michael Trucco again. And I don't know why. I mean, I guess it's just because so we can get other pieces of information about this case. But I just thought it was funny how everyone was like, "You remember this case, right?" And they're like, "Yeah." And then they just proceed to like recap it in a slightly different manner. Because they do the same thing with Del Monte too, and ask, about the case, and he remembers it. The they got a full confession from the boyfriend. He's doing 20 years at Soledad, which I looked it up. I guess is a state prison in California. So He's, doing the time, but they're not exactly sure if he actually did the crime anymore.
I like
Because
how you
Nyla,
put that pun in there too.
oh yes, I tried. That was just off the cuff. And so obviously Nyla's, telling him, well, the thing is that she was shot, not strangled, so they're wondering if the confession could have been coerced. And Aaron's pretty insistent about it, but Del Monte's sticking to, they did, they got the information that they needed. And then, Aaron obviously dealing with imprisonment for, reasons that he didn't need to be there. He obviously is carrying a lot of his personal weight into this. And so Nyla obviously knows that, and so she tells him to, wait outside, because Aaron was pretty harsh to Sean. Nyla ends up apologizing, but he said that the case was solid. He could have gotten a conviction even without the confession because the victim's hair was found in the trunk of the car. The boyfriend had a history of violence, and witnesses heard them arguing. And so, Nyla kind of, she goes back out to meet Aaron, before they go on the elevator, and tells him that, he can't talk to a prosecutor like that, especially not one running for district attorney. 'Cause at the beginning of their interaction with Del Monte, he asks which, what's the word I'm looking for? Headshot. I almost said mugshot. That's not right. Headshot of him looks more, district attorney like. I swear to God, I thought they were the same picture, so I didn't know why the heck he was asking. But anyway, so yes, he's running for district attorney, and Aaron asks what their next move is. Like, well, he says, what are we going to do? And Nyla says that there is no we. But then she basically backtracks that when she says that we need to find evidence that it wasn't the boyfriend. So Aaron's all, smiles about that because she said we. Therefore, he's kind of back on the case with her.
You can tell he's just kind of like thrilled to work with her again.
Yeah, I loved their
I love it.
dynamic.
And we even had like a callback to when they did first work together. I was like, I was not expecting that. I loved
Yeah,
it.
it was great. Yeah. And so they get on the elevator, and Aaron tells Nyla that there, wasn't a different guy in Karina's life, named Ryan Jones, who worked with her at her off-campus job, and he had a shaky alibi, in Aaron's opinion, from his girlfriend. Plus Ryan was an avid, or is an avid, gun collector. And Nyla being Nyla was like, yeah, but you also have to remember that your opinion is like basically diddly squat. Therefore, like, he needs to, cool it for a minute before jumping the gun. Which I don't know. I mean, because like, he's been on the job though, like, he's like out of
Right.
the,
He's seen things.
yeah, like, he's not considered to be like the, new, like the newest, green rookie. But anyway, so we cut over a little bit later. Wesley sees Sean is still at the office and asks, what he's doing, and he's going over the case. He notes that, the boyfriend was interrogated for hours on end. He was young and, kind of naive, so like, in retrospect, he could have been coerced. But Del Monte knows it's not as simple as looking into it and then getting it overturned because he's running for DA. Even though Wesley kind of reminds him, yeah, but you have this, possibly false confession, therefore you kind of got to do something about it. And then cut to Aaron has, well, I swear to God, he only refers to her as like Miss Marcos, which, she was Ryan's girlfriend at the time. He has her in an interview room asking her about the night in question. What time was he there with her for dinner? She insisted it was 6 p.m. or whatever's written in the report from back then. And I'm like, listen, it wasn't even like 2 years ago. Like, you're telling me you can't remember something that happened, like a year and a half ago. Come on. But anyway, so Aaron tells her that they have new evidence that implicates Ryan's involvement and, that Karina's boyfriend could possibly be innocent. And so she tells him that Ryan told her it'd be easier to say that he was there since 6 p.m. when in reality she didn't actually see him until 9. So there's that 3 hour gap that he's unaccounted for. And Nyla kind of bursts in and immediately pulls Aaron out of there because he should have notified her instead of interviewing someone without her being there. And if he keeps going rogue like this, he'll ruin, this man's chances of getting a new trial because of the system they're working with. It's, not the best, not fair. Regardless of how, many steps they have to take, they have to make sure that they are careful steps in the process.
During that
And
scene when she pulled him out, were you kind of like, okay, she's like almost doing like, I don't know how to word this. Like for me, I was almost like, okay, why is she being so like harsh towards everyone? I get it, like they're dealing with some pretty like heavy stuff, but like this entire season, she's been like this with everyone besides Angela. And I'm just like, is it still from the fallout of what happened in the beginning of the season, or is she just kind of taking no BS? Because
Oh, possibly. Well, because they did say in that one interview, I can't remember, it's been, well, not so long, but like a few months ago, where they said that Nyla was going to be, kind of feeling the effects after that. So, I mean, maybe that is, because some people kind of, hold it in and then it comes bubbling out in the, takes it out on other people kind of thing.
Like she's like lashing out, but in a way that's justifiable because it's work and she's like ranking higher than them. But at the same time, I'm like, here, like, you don't necessarily need to be like harsh with them. I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah, I had not considered that, but it's, I mean, it could be a possibility for sure.
Continue. Sorry.
Oh no, that's fine. No, totally fine. There were a lot of little, I'm having trouble with words today, guys. I don't know if nuances is the right word, but like just little kind of intricacies within all of these character interactions in this episode that I just found you could take in, a multitude of ways, I guess. And so the last piece of the puzzle that they need is the gun, but they can't get said weapon without probable cause, but the only thing that they need is to match the ballistics from a 22 caliber that Ryan would have to the one that they found in Carino's remains. And so we get a short scene of Nyla going undercover at the shooting range as kind of this flirty woman who's interested in the guns that Ryan's using, wanting to get a gun and doesn't know, what kind exactly she's looking for. Eventually getting him to open up about, he has a 22 that she could try. So she starts out with obviously being a quote unquote like bad shot with the gun, but then when she actually gets her hands on the 22, she shoots it into her barrier, like in on her side of the with the paper, which gives them the shell casings they need to match it to the remains. And so with that, Delmonte approved an arrest warrant for Jones, and they'll also sign a motion to vacate the conviction. Aaron's so like joyous about this because he actually goes in to like kind of almost hug Sean, and he backtracks and is like, oh, I probably shouldn't do that, right? Okay. Never mind.
Also, I felt like it
And
was kind of fitting though for Aaron because, like, we've seen him lately not necessarily no boundaries, and it was just kind of like, Aaron, if anything, this is the time that you need to like know these boundaries. I mean, like, before with Blair and Selena, you did, but yeah.
Or just like awkward social interactions in general this man has had this season. And so, but Sean does thank them for sticking with it. And he actually kind of ends up using it in his part of his new, campaign pitch or something, doing the right thing. No matter how, difficult it is, should be, it's a strength, not a, character flaw. And I'm like, okay, you really need to like put a political spin on that. Thank you so
Yeah.
much.
I was like, it's kind of fitting for an ADA or like future ADA to find some way to like work this case into their campaign. But also, like, do you need to know? I don't know.
I don't know. I just almost thought like I don't know, like this is gonna sound bad. I don't mean it to sound bad, but I almost felt like they were trying to include Sean. And when I say Sean, I mean Sean Ashmore, the actor, not Sean the character. Like I thought they were trying to just like include Wesley's character by having him kind of like check in with Damani and be like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, right, you have this campaign. Da 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 da. I'm like,
I've seen
they
some people
I
kind
don't
of
know.
be like they're not using Wesley as much, and I'm like,
No, they're not. They're definitely
definitely not. But especially for him like being a regular, right? Like he's been up to, but also at the same time, it goes back to Melissa's comment in one of those interviews about like there's so many characters and they can't use every single character in every single episode. But that also like kind of begs the question of like when do we use the character too much? Like are we using, say, Bailey too much? Like, and I only say her because her name is like right there on my screen right now. But you know what I mean? Like, are we like focusing on one character in that ship too much? Like, I don't know. The Rookie does a good job with the balance, and like last season, I think it was a lot of like Lopez and like with Elijah stuff. So maybe now it's kind of like switching it up, but yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, that's for sure. So now we have Baylen and their decision. I'll be honest, we did not need this storyline this episode. Like we didn't. It's just, I feel like it was a big enough storyline to where it could have had its own episode or like been a B storyline of another episode. But there were like four storylines in this episode. Like we had A, B, C, and D. We did not need this
That
one.
is true.
You know, also, and I think I have it in these notes. Why are they just now talking about this after they've gotten married? Like,
Fair.
this is supposed to be something that you have before, but I think their situation from last week kind of played a part in this. So John wakes up and Bailey's sitting at the end of the bed. I kind of got like horror movie vibes from it, not gonna lie, because I was like,
Oh,
she's sitting
really?
at the end of the bed, like looking like she wants to do things to him, and he like literally gets up and gives like a jump scare, and I'm like, I'm not gonna lie, I probably would too if someone was sitting at the end of my bed with a cup of coffee in their hand and smiling, like I was waiting for you to wake up. I would be like, I'm going back to bed. Like, I'm not doing this right now. So he's caught off guard, I mean, as he should be. And she's like, I think we should have a baby if that's something you're open to. So he's caught off guard and he's like, I love being a dad, but I thought my days of sleepless nights and dirty diapers were over. And Bailey's like, well, you were about to foster Anna. And he's like, yeah, but she had no one. Like, it kind of felt like fate. And Bailey takes his answer as a no. And John tells her that it's not a no, but he hasn't had a cup of coffee yet. And maybe they should table it until later. I agree. I mean, that's like, who wants to start their morning with that right off the bat? Like, he hasn't even gotten up out of bed yet. And like, you're already ambushing him. And so she agrees and she's like, yeah, maybe we can talk about it again after work. Like, it's a really big conversation after all. So then, like, John comes home to see Bailey reading a pregnancy book. And he's like, wow, you've really like dove in deep to this, and she's like, I just want to make an informed decision. Girl, this isn't like buying a car. Like, I don't
Yeah.
know. So she's like, she says she's more sure now than ever. And she wants to have a baby. And she concludes by like seeing his reaction, and she's like, and you still don't. And he's like, I didn't say that. I still just don't know. Like, some days the job is all that I can handle. And then he talks about when he had Henry, like, he was the boss. He never had to miss a school play or a parent-teacher conference. You know, he doesn't have that now, which means he can't be the dad or the cop that he wants to be. And Bailey like keeps thinking that it's him alluding to a no, which I could see that, but he keeps reminding her that it's a big decision and he needs more than a day to think about it. I do kind of like how he's kind of like keeping her, like, he keeps reminding her, like, no, we can't just like jump to this. This isn't like another hobby that we can take on. Like, you
Yeah.
know, I kind of like that he's like making her wait. So then she tells him that if he's thinking about a way to let her down easily, that he shouldn't. The longer he lets her have hope, the more painful it'll be, which is also fair. And so then, like, randomly in the episode, John asks Nyla if Leah's sleeping through tonight because she's like about a year old. And Nyla's like, no, but it's hard, but it's worth it. And Nyla's like, are you thinking about having a baby? And with Bailey, and John's like, well, she is, but I'm not sure if I can juggle a kid and the job. I do really like that he's thinking like long and hard about this. And Nyla's like, well, I do it, and so does Angela, and Gray did too. And John's like, yeah, but you guys are and were younger, and just starting out your careers. I'm like a little late to the party. Also, I like that like he keeps bringing his age up into this because I'm like, I mean, yeah, you kind of have to be like a little realistic with that. And then he's like, I've got like maybe 10 years to maximize my career before it's all over. Which,
It's like
okay.
mildly depressing.
I know. I was like, okay. But also, like, can we think about his age? Because he was what, like 40 something when he started? And we're in like season six right now.
Yes, he's presumably 44,
What,
maybe
46, 44? Yeah.
45. I don't know, 'cause I don't, again, who, what is time? The rookie doesn't know.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just gonna like confuse myself even more if I think about this. So like 10 years, I've put some like mid 50s. I'm sure that that's when they probably retire or at least go to the desk at that age,
Yeah.
you know? So she's like, it's cliche, but it's true that there's never really a good time to have a kid. And I love that like she's telling him this and that he's like getting this advice from other people as if he doesn't have an 18, 19, 20-year-old son too. Like,
Yeah. It
but
just cracks me up. Yeah, it just cracks me up how like they're just all openly discussing this. Like, oh, you're gonna have a baby? Oh, you're gonna have a baby?
yeah.
I'm like, okay. I mean,
Yeah.
it is John. It is very, you know, he's built relationships with all of these people that he works with. I just thought it was just so funny, like that he barely says two words and they're like, oh, so you're gonna have a baby with
Yeah.
Bailey. I'm like,
But also,
okay.
let's not forget that Angela and Nyla have had multiple conversations about birth over the radio with
Oh,
everyone.
that's fair.
I mean, that's a little bit different because like they were already pregnant, but
That's
yeah.
fair. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would also just think that they're close, like
Yeah.
family, they work together, but yeah. So then John gets home to find Bailey learning baby sign language. And she just wants to forget about the elephant in the room for the night and make some dinner and enjoy some time together. Which, okay, I was live tweeting last night. And at this point, I was a little like delusional and like kind of getting silly. And I was like, why do I feel like she's already pregnant? Like Bailey, obviously. And she is like doing all of this and like
Oh
proposing
dear.
this question to John in hopes that he'll be like, yeah, and like come around to it. And then she'll
Oh
be
my
like,
goodness.
I'm already pregnant.
Oh
So,
my God.
and then I was like, no, they wouldn't do that. And I was like, never mind, forget what I just tweeted. I was going through it. And at this point, like Chenford was going through it. And I was like, I need to be silly for a minute. So then he mentions laying off the wine if they're going to get her pregnant later. And I was just like, That's kind of a weird line, but also like you don't necessarily need to lay off that when you're trying. I don't know. It's kind of weird. And then John like gets a water bottle out and he's like, I'm hydrating. And Bailey's like, well, do we have to wait until after dinner? And he like carries her to the bedroom and that's it. And I was like, what did I just watch?
I was like,
He's
all
like,
right then.
I was like, we had Chenford break up and then we go to
Right.
Baylen trying to have baby. I'm like, I have
Right.
flash from this episode.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't even know. Like, again, this whole entire storyline was not going how I expected it to go either. Just considering the fact that Alexi had said that they were not writing in Jenna's pregnancy. And it's just, I mean, one, me being like nitpicky is just like, because you can definitely notice that. Like Jenna is very pregnant,
Yeah.
in like the last couple episodes. But then at the same time, it's like I really did not see them going the, I don't know how to put it, like traditional route of trying to conceive, I guess. I don't know. I thought they were going to lean more into the adoption or fostering thing, or just, I don't know, because in my mind, if you're not going to write an actress's pregnancy into the show, what are we having? I mean, yes, sure, trying to make a baby and actually making a baby are not, the same thing. But it's like, why? Why are we going just like zooming right down that path? I don't
Yeah.
know.
I don't know. Like, to me, it's kind of pointless.
Like,
Like,
I
I
just,
don't.
yeah, I don't know what the end goal is.
Yeah. Well, and like, I don't know. I think I said this last week. Not every couple on the show, excluding Chenford, because they're still in the early stages. Well, after this past episode, I don't know. But like, not every couple needs to have a kid. Like, I'd rather see them not. Now, I don't know. Like, maybe it's that natural way. I don't know. Like, maybe we'll see them having some struggles. And then maybe them just coming to terms with being like, it's just not gonna happen. But like,
Me so sad though, because like I would hope, like, oh my God, like I cannot imagine if like Bailey was unable to have kids for whatever reason, and then just like poor pregnant Jenna with all her hormones trying to play this out, like,
my God,
oh
no.
God, more power to him. I could not do that. Well, I couldn't be an actress period, but like, just, I mean, doing that while pregnant, I just,
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah, I
it's a
don't
whole
know.
other ball game.
But like then I was thinking when Nyla was like, well, Angela Gray and I all do it, I was thinking, okay, yeah, but like your partners didn't have like risky jobs to where you were risking your lives. Like, I feel like that's something also to think
I mean,
about.
Wesley kind of, but just because of
Yeah.
the one client that he happened to get involved with.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and he got himself into that. But like, I mean, like Luna and James, like
Right.
they're not running into burning buildings. Like, to
Yeah.
me, that's a pretty big thing to think about too.
Right.
So I could see why John was like, we need to talk about this more before we just like
That's fair.
do things. I don't know.
Yeah.
It
I
just,
didn't even consider that, but yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, people could do it. Like, there's cops and firefighters in real life who have a significant other in that field, in the other fields, and like they do it. But, and like other shows have too. But I'm just kind of like, yeah, Bailey seems like all in right off the bat, and maybe she's thought about it more, but we haven't seen that. So for this reason, like I'm siding with John. I'm like, we kind of need to think about it. But then like to go home and just be like, yeah, we'll do it. We'll like,
Yeah.
go forth with it. And then they're still not
Literally.
really talking about it. I'm like,
Yeah.
you've pushed off talking about this the entire time.
Right. Yeah.
So how are you just not gonna talk about it? I don't know. This
And it's
entire
like you're not gonna go back to the bedroom and just talk about it.
Yeah. I was like, all right.
No.
So I don't know. I wonder, I'm sure we won't get it this season, but
No
I don't know.
idea.
I feel like it'll kind of be like the Kim Burgess and like Marina thing from Chicago PD. Remember when she was like actually pregnant in real life and having to hide everything? And then like they made her character get pregnant on the show, and she's like, they couldn't have done this while I was actually pregnant. I was like, yeah. But I mean, we all know how that happened, and that wasn't very good. So I don't know.
That is true.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a weird, it was a storyline that it felt like it just kind of got lost in this episode. But then it was also Baylan, so you had to like paid attention. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like it could have kind of been fine in another episode. That in one of the cases, because I definitely feel like we did not need to, technically three cases if you also have Tim's. So yeah, there was a lot going on. There was a lot, but that's about it for Baylan. Should we go through Chenford now, even though it pains
Oh,
me?
I know. I was gonna say, I was like, do I even want to? But I'm like, no, because I have, there are things. There are
There
like
are
little
things.
things that threw me for a loop with this one.
I might have watched their breakup scene multiple times last night, like willingly. I was like just watching it on a loop. I'm like, why?
Honestly, though, I don't know if this is going to be like unpopular opinion or not. Not that I didn't think that Eric and Melissa knocked the breakup scene out of the park, but for whatever reason, the argument scene at the Lopez house, like that. I mean, I didn't get emotional over it, but like, I don't know. I was like glued to the screen slightly more, like for that. Like, I didn't even want to like blink. I felt like I was gonna miss something.
I felt Lucy's frustration. Well, I also watched the promo and like just her part when she was talking multiple times and again before the episode because I loved like her voice breaking and she's like, you have to tell me what's going on right now. Like, yeah, I don't know. Melissa and Eric killed it in this week's episode. They
Oh
killed it.
yeah, totally.
They deserve the top performers of the week from TV Line or whoever does that. They deserve that.
Or like scene of the week or something.
Yeah,
Whatever
whatever
that
those
is.
polls are, everyone nominate them right now. That's your homework after this episode. I mean, I don't
Fair.
even know if you can nominate them, but like we're
Fair.
tweet at them. So.
So we start out this whole Chenford and Tim's case with Tamara comes into Lucy's room and basically asks if, Tim's still ghosting her, and he is because they haven't talked in a couple of days. And then she tells Lucy that some of her friends are getting a place and she kind of wants to join them on that. And of course, Lucy, says sure because she wants her to be happy and says that she should be living with people her own age. And Tamara seems excited about it and says that, she'll show her pictures later, which I don't think we ever got, actually.
No. Not to be dramatic, but this was like the first sign that we should have known something was going to go wrong. Because I don't want that.
I was just like, what is, like, are we just trying to like twist the knife deeper in pulling every one of Lucy's
Roommates
supports
out.
away at one time? I don't know.
Also, like, why was Selena and Tamara both talking about moving out? Like, a subplot of this episode. Like,
Sub-subplot.
again, we just had so many other mentions that were not needed. They were not.
But then I
Aside
think it
from the
was.
Smitty thing, the Smitty thing was needed. Yes. Open.
I think, I can't remember, it again might have been M on Twitter that had mentioned the, Selena, Lucy's new roommate, question mark, like if that's the like direction that they're implying with the mentions of, them needing, or Selena needing, a new place and Tamara potentially moving out.
I didn't even think about that until I was putting listener thoughts into the timeline, and I think someone had said that.
I hadn't even considered it either, but then I was like, oh my God, please make my Melissa and Lisette friendship, just
That would be
manifest
the only
itself
redeeming quality of this.
with
I'm
them
sorry,
having
but it
more
would. Like,
scenes.
I don't want Tamara to move out.
No.
Because Like we this is like the second episode of the season that we've seen her, and even then it hasn't been much. Like
Yeah.
I if she moves out, we still need to find ways to bring her in to the
Oh
show.
yeah.
Like in any capacity, she could get a job at the station working as like an assistant or a clerk or something, and I would be fine.
Considering she's doing the like criminal justice degree or something like
Why
that.
has that not been a thing yet? Like, why
That's
have
true.
we not like got her into the stations somehow?
Yeah.
Again, I don't know how, but I
Yeah.
don't know. I would be here for Selena and Lucy rooming together. I would. But it would make things extra awkward when Chenford does get back together, because they will. They will.
Yeah.
When like Tim comes over and then Selena's there. Like it's different now because Tamara's not working with them, but like
True. But also, Selena's good at averting her eyes now. She's gonna work on
that's
that.
true.
So
That's true. And maybe if Selena
so.
stays with Lucy, Lucy will be like, well, we just have to go over to Tim's place more because,
There you go. That's what I was thinking too. I was like, oh my
yeah.
God, bring back Tim's lovely house. I miss that place.
And then at that point, Lucy will move out and move in with Tim and then leave Selena all on her own. So,
Oh, yeah.
but then I also saw people on Twitter last night saying Lucy just needs to move because Rosalind's been in her apartment and now this Ray dude has been in her apartment. Like, her apartment is cursed. So it's like, that's true.
Not
She
to
needs
mention
to get
a
out of there.
Chris Sanford bleeding out on her couch.
Yeah. Well, that was the Rosalind thing.
Yeah, tragic.
Well, and she had, the like serial killer, or not, no, not the serial killer, but the guy from the Halloween episode too, in her building. She just needs to move.
Yeah,
Just needs
and
to move.
poor Jackson, RIP,
Yeah.
like having lived there
Oh my God. We're
previously.
gonna relive all of the Chenford trauma plus some tonight, clearly.
Apparently. Yeah.
Oh, we're so unwell. It's fine.
Yep. That's good.
Yeah.
So we have Lucy talking to Angela at work, and obviously she is worried about Tim, and Angela tells her, it's best to do, basically is like, it's best to do nothing, even though Lucy hates that. Cue like literally 0.5 seconds later, Angela's found magically found Tim in his SUV or his truck, doing
Like
his
popping up,
usual, yeah, like literally just like,
like
hi.
pops up to the window.
Yeah, scares Tim half to death pretty much.
Literally, he did a jump scare too. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Tim's been doing his usual routine since the last episode, sitting in the car watching Ray, maybe eating some food, sitting in the car watching Ray. Like that's just all, that's his life right now. And he's still not wanting to tell Angela exactly what he is doing and like why he's out there. And she's like, well, if I just get fired, I'll live off my husband's trust fund and call it wine o'clock. And I'm like, that is my favorite thing she's ever said.
Yeah. And she was just like so nonchalant about it. I was like, that's Angela Lopez. That tracks.
Yeah, so true. But if Lucy gets fired, it would pose more of a problem. And I don't know how this like miraculously, I don't know, like breaks down Tim's barriers or something, but he just, is like, okay, fine, I'll tell you, So he tells her that he's been tailing Ray Watkins, which thank God we finally know his last name. And it was the guy that he was in the army with. He's apparently spent his deployment ripping off Iraqi locals and obviously got Henderson and Coyle killed, as was revealed in the last episode. And Angela wonders, well, why not just turn Ray into the military police? But obviously Ray knows that Tim lied about his death on the report, so he's trying to catch him in a fresh crime, quote unquote, to arrest him for now. And we find out then a little bit later, it's been apparently 2 days of staking Ray out, and Tim's still got nothing. And he's gonna do whatever it takes to take him down. Apparently, even if it means losing his job and Lucy, to do it. Angela's kind of talking about it in a sense where she, at least I personally felt like she didn't want him to answer as quickly with a yes as he did, but he did. Like he's willing to pretty much risk everything to get this guy. And he tells her that he lied about Ray's death so his family could get the benefits. And I'm literally just sitting here, I'm like, I mean, I love Tim Gilla, like, don't get me wrong, BFF moments, love that. But just like, I'm just like, do we not already know all this information? Like, why are we just like rehashing every single thing that was already said in the last episode?
About,
Like, about Ray
yeah.
and his whole, like, just the whole thing. Like, I just felt like we were saying the same things.
I feel like it
I don't
wasn't
know.
as explicitly said. Like, I don't know. I mean, we kind of got hints to it, but it wasn't like laying it all out on the table. Because at that point, Tim and Greer knew. But like it was kind of a hidden thing. Like the audience didn't know. And so I feel like the audience was finding out at the same time as Angela was, because Angela wouldn't have known about it either. So, but then again, you would think that them being friends for so long, like he's talked about the military stuff with her. But then I don't know, because he was pretty closed off. Like even in the first season, Angela and Talia were like, it's Tim, he just does his own thing. So.
So he, tells her that he lied, and she insists that, Lucy would understand that, but Tim replies that she would have to notify IA about it, and she'd get in trouble if she did not. And Angela kind of is sitting back in the passenger seat, analyzing Tim for a second, because she thinks that there is something else that he did that he's, kind of ashamed of, I guess, for lack of better words. So he's not only trying to protect Lucy, but also trying to protect himself. And the reason she knows this is because, Angela is his BFF, even though Tim is a grown ass man, apparently. So he doesn't have best friends, but, you only get one, according to Angela, and she is his, whether he likes it or not. And so in her best Angela Lopez fashion, she pretty much takes it upon herself to help him out and get a closer look at what Ray is exactly doing. And so she grabs the camera and kind of ducks behind and in between some cars and takes some quick snapshots of Ray talking to another person in a car that had diplomatic plates. And so Tim's going to send those off to his friend in the State Department or some, somewhere higher up to get help with that. And so we see Tim and Angela following Ray still, even though Angela insists that she should be the one driving because Tim's getting too close, like literally and figuratively. But it's kind of too late because Ray has already caught on to them and gets out of the car and is talking to them, asking, who Angela is and what exactly Tim's plan is
Did you catch
for
Angela's
him.
line being like, I thought you said he was smart. All I see is slick.
Well, I was like, this dude is like really trying to like have this undertone of like, flirtation or something. I'm like, this is bizarre.
Yeah, he called her like mama or something. I was like, why are we doing this?
And I
Why
was like,
are we just like being like her? No.
I don't know. It's like bizarre. 'Cause I was like, if you don't actually know who she is, like, I mean, I know that's like not, you don't actually have to be a mom to like hear that term, but I just thought it was like ironic, I guess, that she
It's
is in
like,
fact the mom.
why is he hitting on her? Like, just because she's an attractive like woman, but like don't need to like have that be the first thing that's said to someone. Like, it just, no. I was like, dude, no. Go away. We don't want you here anymore.
And so he notices that, Mark Greer from, last episode has bailed on Tim and, Ray assumed that Mark was always team extermination and Tim was always team justice. And as he's saying this, all the while he's putting some, I don't know what in the world kind of device or gadget against the side of Tim's car, and then like pulling it away a few seconds later, before he kind of just dismisses himself to go on his way.
It was like something to get into the car to like bypass the car alarms and like the lock.
Yeah, well, I figured that out on my
And then
second
like something that
watch.
maybe hotwired the car. I don't
But
know.
like on the first watch, I was just like, is he like trying to like put a track? Like I thought he was trying to put like a tracker on
That's what I thought.
the, SUV at first. And I was like, why would that help him? But then I was like, nope, he just took the same device away. So I was so confused.
Which he could have easily put like some kind of tracker that doesn't have to be like left on the car, knowing that Tim is a cop. Because then, like,
There.
we see him literally get into the truck. Like, Lopez's house isn't even safe anymore. Honestly, just have them all move. Nyla's house isn't safe. Lopez's house, Lucy's apartment, nothing. None of them are safe. So.
Yeah, that is fair. Yeah. And so Tim and Angela go back to her house. The kids are with her mom, and Wesley's gonna pick them up later. Tim, Angela's like, okay, you're like beating yourself up way too much. You're letting Ray get under your skin. Like, what is really going on? And so Tim tells her about how he had been a squad leader for most of his second tour, and he was, on the fast track to a promotion. Unless, however, his commander found out that one of his soldiers, Ray, that was under his command was engaged in, well, he said rampant criminality. And I'm like, is that like not just a fancy way of saying criminal activity? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And Tim thought that if he could bring Ray in himself, he could keep it within the squad and that he'd be a sergeant first class in no time. And so that's why they went after Ray, under the radar and unsanctioned. So they were, going rogue. And they located Ray in a village outside of Mosul. And then, obviously, like, this is what I mean. Like, he then reiterates, Ray called in the airstrike.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I understand. I applaud Eric for his, emotional variations in like the, telling of this story. Because like, they had the music too, and I was like, oh geez, they always get me with the music.
Yeah.
But like I was like, yes, we know Ray called the airstrike. We know
Yeah.
that, two people were, going to die. And they thought, Ray would have. But I mean, I guess we did get the, piece of information that there is a Humvee that he and Mark were behind that ended up saving their lives. But he still doesn't understand how Ray survived at all. But he does know that he put his career above his oath and that, the two soldiers lost their lives because of that, and he's gonna have to live with that for the rest of his life. And then, like you said, cut Ray getting into Tim's car, which he unlocked with that crazy gadget, and
Yeah.
he's searching his previous destinations, and up comes Lucy's apartment. So obviously we know what the intention was, although I still didn't really understand how this was going to play out. I was like, how in the world does he think he's going to, like, I thought he was going to like break into a cop's apartment. I was like, does he really think he's that slick?
Yeah. Well, and I was like, how does he know that Lucy's someone important to her? Unless he's like following Tim more than we know. Because
I
like
mean,
Lucy could have easily just been his partner or like
true.
been some random person in his like
I mean, I
GPS. I don't know. I guess we.
maybe the like re the I don't know what the word, like the recentness. I don't think that's actually a word, but like the, because her
Maybe.
apartment was like third on the list of his,
Yeah.
recent destinations. And I think it was the only one with an actual like person's name as opposed to a building. So maybe he was just kind of
Like
got,
hoping.
yeah, hoping or got like, I don't know. This is
Because
what I
then when he
mean.
got to Lucy's place, he was like, "You must be the girlfriend." It was like,
Yeah.
"How do you know that?"
Yeah.
Is he like stalking Tim on social media? Like,
Yeah, I don't
I don't
know.
know. But
Like
then,
it's
like,
a
what if Tamara never called for Lucy and he just thought Tamara was Lucy? Like, it just, I don't know.
yeah.
There was holes in this, and it was
Right.
confusing. But then I was also like, at first when I was watching it, I was like, why is he looking at Tim's like call history? Like, that's kind of weird. I didn't realize that it
I
was
was
the GPS until he
yeah.
then showed up at Lucy's and I was like, oh,
Right. Yeah,
okay.
I know. I originally thought it was call history too, because it had the actual like the full, like
Yeah.
information.
But like, also, it's not like his contact for Lucy says like Lucy GF or anything. Like, it literally just says
Yeah,
Lucy.
Lucy. Yeah.
And this man's like, well, she's a girl, like, and
Yeah.
must be his girlfriend. I'm like,
Maybe she's a friend. So put
yeah.
those two words together and what do you have?
Oh my God.
Like, I don't know. I mean, that's what I mean though. Like when you said there were like holes, like yeah, there were, especially since we were fed the same, three pieces of information
Yeah.
about, Ray's whole
Yeah.
thing, which I understand. Not like I don't want to make it seem like I'm diminishing the, importance or, value in this storyline and how it affects Tim. I don't want to make it seem like that at all. I just wish there was like some
There should have been more context with it, I
a
feel
little
like.
bit or just a little bit more variety where it could have then provided the context that was needed. If they said, because then they had the, the Humvee mention was good, because I was like, I was wondering from last episode, well, how the heck did Mark and Tim survive then
Yeah.
without, getting the, blown to bits.
Well, and I feel like that's too where taking out the Baylan storyline and one of the cases would have been helpful because we could have spent more time on this. But
Yeah.
that's just, I mean, what do we know? We're not writers.
Right. Yeah.
We're
I
just
don't.
fans that
Yeah.
are a little upset about Chenford, but also we know that they're gonna be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. We have
In
faith.
season seven that we don't have yet. So
Right.
everything's fine. It's
Yeah.
all fine.
Yeah. We just also have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And I have a like major one in this next like beginning of this next scene, but like,
Oh my
okay, so
God.
Lucy's arriving home, right?
Yeah.
Tamara's ordered pizza. Lucy doesn't feel like cooking, which girl, same, like whole mood right
Yeah.
there. I was like, I never feel like cooking anything. I'm
When it's an
terrible.
especially long day, I'm like, I don't even want to go home without food. Like, just
Right?
let me pick up
Yeah.
something on my way home.
Yeah. And there's, no news on Tim. Lucy's basically playing the waiting game and hating it. And she's saying this as she's putting her gun in the safe, which is across from the front door near the couch. So like in their living area, but across from her bedroom, like
Yeah.
on the opposite side of the room. I just had so many questions. I mean, I knew obviously if they were showing her putting her gun away, then it was obviously going to come back up, but I was like just staring at it for a good like 10 seconds wondering why in the world is it right there in the middle of the house or apartment.
Yeah, because like, what if she wakes up in the middle of the night and like there's someone like at the door? I mean,
Yeah.
is she gonna? I don't know. Yeah, it does not make any sense.
But then I was
But I
like, well,
wonder.
is that what she's thinking? Like people would, assume, oh, you have,
Yeah.
important things in your bedroom. Like maybe they wouldn't think to check in
Right.
the living. I don't know.
Like, I wonder if there's like some kind of code, like of conduct in a way for police officers to where like
Fair.
there's certain spots where they should put the safe or like.
Yeah. Or maybe since like there's another occupant living in the house, like it's
Right.
not, or the, I keep saying house, apartment, like it's not just her
Yeah.
anymore or
But like
something.
Tamara doesn't know how to work a gun,
That's
so
true.
that we
At least
know
not
of.
that we know of. Yeah.
But I don't think she would like get into Lucy safe for that. But like,
Yeah.
yeah, it is odd to me because you would think it would be like in her bedroom.
Right.
I mean, what's she gonna do? Just like run out and like, oh, I gotta get the safe. And no, like, girl, the intruder or whatever could already be in the house and like literally be in the doorway of your bedroom. Like, and you would have no gun. I don't know. It just, but I wonder if there is like a book or a handbook or something of where like these are the places where you should keep your gun in your house. Like, and it's like a list of them. I don't know. It's interesting. If anyone knows, or if this is just like some weird continuity thing, like let us know.
Yeah, or if it's, I mean, or we might just be reading way too much into it, but or maybe it was to further illustrate Lucy's badassery and the fact that she could, beat the living hell out of people, like with her fists. Or a broom or whatever, that we've seen her do in the past.
But
So
like, also, how did Ray know that it was there? Like, this man is
that's true. Yeah, I don't know.
he might even be more creepy than some of the like inmates that we've seen and some of the other villains.
Yeah. Yeah,
Like,
I don't.
I
Yeah,
don't.
there's got to be something that
Yeah.
we don't exactly know.
Also, does like Ray know about Tamara? Like, does he know that that's like Lucy's friend, and like, I don't know. Like, I have to assume that like he's been like watching Tim on social and like that
Yeah.
knows of Lucy.
Or just at least is watching Tim as closely as Tim's been watching him.
I don't know. We're probably, like you said, we're probably reading way too much into this, but
Yeah, probably.
oh well.
But anyway, okay, so we've already like just basically discussed this whole scene, but you
I kind
know.
of don't even want to know how long this episode's going to be, considering I can see our Zoom timestamp and
I
we're
don't
going on
either.
2 hours of
I'm
being
just
Zoom.
apologizing because like my voice is kind of getting raspy and like bleh.
But like, we're almost done. We have
Yeah.
4 pages left of our 16-page outline. So
Oh, don't tell the people that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, goodness.
It's
Okay.
okay. It's okay. It's,
Yeah, got
yeah.
it. We got it. Okay, so doorbell rings just as Lucy says she's gonna go change. Lucy's ducking back in her room, and Tamara answers it, assuming that it's the pizza. It's not. It's Ray, who introduces himself as Tim's friend. And Tamara's essentially like, well, he's not here. And before she can really do anything, I mean, I don't want to say I'm giving her too much credit because like if there was a strange person like just standing at my door, I don't really care who the fuck they are. Like I don't care if you know someone. Like if I'm not expecting you, I'm slamming the door. I mean, I wouldn't open the
Yeah.
door anyway, but if I did, I'm slamming the door right back in your face. Like I
Yeah.
don't care.
Well, and like the fact that he was like, is Tim home? And she's like, no, I'm like,
Right.
Tamara, you literally live with a cop.
Yeah.
Why are you telling this man literally everything that he wants to know? Like, no. Also, are peepholes not a thing anymore in apartment doors?
That's true. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
I mean,
I don't know.
I don't know. I would think that they would be.
Yeah.
It's like a safety precaution.
Yeah. I mean, she probably just really was just so, walls completely down, literally probably just like hungry and like, where the heck's the pizza? Like, here it is. Okay, great.
It's just funny because last episode she was like, yeah, I've learned a few things about living with a cop, like head
Oh my
on a
God,
swivel.
that's so
And I was
true.
like, Tamara, you're literally not doing any of
Oh,
that right
yeah.
now. So, yeah. Love her. And I don't want
No, yes.
to anywhere.
Yes.
She needs to stay right there.
Yes. Yeah. And so Ray's just literally, he's, oh my God, I can't deal with him because he's like, that's cool. And he just saunters in, and I'm like, excuse you, sir. Like, go away. Like, what is happening?
Like, who said you could enter? No.
Right. No.
You don't even know
No.
who's answering the door right now, dude. Like, why are
Right.
you just allowing
Yeah.
yourself in?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Ms.
And so, Tamara calls to Lucy, who's obviously finished changing, and she comes back out of her room to find Ray standing by her kitchen counter, basically. And Lucy asks if she can help him, and Ray hopes so. And he doesn't really phrase it like a question. He just kind of states that, she's Tim's girlfriend. And Lucy kind of looks be back between Tamara and the safe where she'd just put her gun. And Ray automatically caught that and said, you don't need to, you don't need that. Because he's not there to hurt them. He's only there to help them. And of course, Lucy's gonna pass on that. And Ray asks if, well, he said, like, Tim never mentioned me as a question. And Lucy's basically like, I don't know who the hell you are. So, no, how would Tim have mentioned you or not mentioned you?
Yeah.
Like, she was just so flabbergasted. I couldn't, I was like, yeah, you go. Like, I would have said the same thing. Like,
Yeah.
what the heck is going on right now? And she, orders Ray to leave right now. And I feel like this is just kind of how dramatic TV shows go. Like, you want to get in the last word. So, like, the, villain has to, like, one up you after you've told them to leave, and just da da da, like, keeps going.
Yeah.
Because Ray tells her to call Tim and ask him about Mosul, and the only phone call that Lucy's going to make is for an ambulance to wheel Ray out of her apartment if he doesn't leave right that second. And I was like, yeah, you go. Like, tell him. Please do. Like, go, leave.
And also, like, be careful, Lucy, please.
Yeah, I know. I was nervous because they had the, again, the music, the tense music playing. It was just like, I do not need a fight to break out right now. Yeah, and so, but Ray does back off, and he's kind of nonchalantly says, "Well, he'll be gone in a few days anyhow, unless, there's a reason for him to stick around." And immediately after he leaves, Lucy locks the door and calls Tim, basically demanding to know where he is. And we see him pick up the phone at Lopez's house. And obviously, Lucy and Tamara show up there. And Lucy is upset. And I appreciated how Angela was, let's give him a minute, and kind of escorts Tamara
Yeah.
out of the living room so Chenford can discuss what they need to discuss. And Lucy tells him that Ray had stopped by, and she asked him, well, what if Tamara had been there by herself when he showed up? And Tim apologizes, but Lucy demands to know what has been going on with him. He needs to tell her right now. And so again, we get, the info about Ray. Tim finally tells Lucy who he is, and Lucy says that none of that explains why he cut her out over these last few days, especially since he, she said, read Lopez in. I'm assuming that's like a different word for, like, rope, like, she kind of rope, or he roped Lopez in, or brought her in the loop
Yeah.
for things, and, didn't do the same for her. But Tim, said that he won't stop trying to protect her. He can't. And it's different with Angela because, according to Tim, she has less to lose than Lucy does or would. And he begs her to steer clear of this whole thing. And she kind of throws his words back at him, which I mean, in that moment, appreciated, because she was like, I can't, I won't. And whether he likes it or not, even if he doesn't tell her everything, he's going to, like, let her in to what is really going on. And so this kind of begins the scenes with the three of them that, like, Eric and Alyssa had posted a little while ago, on their stories and stuff, which was cool to see how that all played out. And so, I don't know if it's like the next day. I'm assuming so, because I thought it was like late at night when the rest of that happened.
Yeah.
So, like, are we just supposed to assume that, like, Wesley literally came back with, I don't even know,
Yeah, we don't
Jackson
know
and
if
whoever baby girl Lopez's name is, came back with the two kids, just like saw Lucy and Tim, like, I don't know, camped out on their couch or something, and then was just like, okay, I'm gonna like peace out, I'm going to sleep too. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But also the fact that Tim was like, where's the kids? Like,
Yeah.
hello, Uncle Tim Bradford.
Also true.
Where's he at?
Yeah. Yeah. And just like, so
Also,
are we
after
just,
this, I wouldn't blame Tamara for wanting to move out, though.
I mean,
She's
kind of,
probably like, I
but
can't do this.
yeah. Well, especially because I'm like, wait, did she like stay there the whole night too? And then where the heck did she go after the fact? Like, or did Lucy, like send her to go stay with her friends? Like, I don't know. I was just, I had questions again, about this whole thing. But Tim reports back. The diplomatic plates from earlier were from the Turkish embassy, but the guy inside the car was not Turkish. He was Venezuelan, and his name was Gustav Martinez, and he was military counterintelligence. And apparently, since he cannot operate domestically, he would hire Ray to kidnap or kill anyone on the outs, quote unquote. And the most likely candidate is Elena Acosta, who is a political activist. And so Bradford calls Elena just as Ray and his guys pull up and force her into the van. And, she is like, Tim had told her to, say, like, shout Ray's name so that it was, I'm assuming, confirmed that that's who was committing the crime. She ends up dropping the phone. And Ray picks it up and tells Tim basically, good luck trying to catch him. And then it cuts back. We see Ray arriving at the docks or something. But his guys are ambushed by Angela and Lucy, who are waiting in the container that they were going to load Elena into, presumably. And they have his entire crew in custody. But even though Tim's not gonna shoot Ray and there's no airstrike he can send, Ray announces that he's the airstrike and he's going to, blow up Tim's life. And this is where we see Commander Percy West, which also just, I mean, like, hello, like Jackson again. That's like all I thought about. I was like, oh, because I saw Michael Beach in the credits, or the, guest star credits, and I was like, what's he doing back here? Oh, that can't be good.
I didn't see his name in the credits, but I also did not expect him to be there. But then I kind of heard his voice and I was like, wait, is that Commander West? I don't know. I guess I just didn't think he would still be in the police force. I don't know. We
Yeah,
haven't
because we
seen
didn't
him in a
see him.
while,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah. And so Tim is being interviewed by him, because he's now involved in a DII, or Departmental Initiated Investigation. And it simultaneously intertwines with Percy's questions to Ray as per his accusations against Tim. So it goes back and forth, basically showing how Tim lied about everything to protect himself, Lucy, and Angela, which then in turn made Ray look like he was retaliating against him with all of these accusations. And I mean, just for the sake of, well, who am I kidding? This is already a 2-hour podcast, but for the sake of,
Not
you guys can.
necessarily, because we did talk a while before, but
That's true. But, like, just one example of it, was that Mark was essentially marked as. Mark was marked, sorry. He was shown as being on base during all the, like, presumably 2 weeks that this is all going on. AKA, he covered his tracks when he, kind of put this murder plot in motion of Ray. And so it, like, goes to show that even though technically, yes, Ray has all this dirt on the both of them, that they are good at making it seem like he, all he has is a bunch of convoluted crap. And Tim even lied about his reasons for not contacting the military police after he discovered Ray went AWOL. He, told Percy that he wanted to not sound the alarm yet until he was sure, but obviously we know, it was because of what he had done on the report and just, for the sake of his military career and his current career. So we then see, well, it's Commander West, Tim, and then Sergeant Gray are all in Sergeant Gray's office. And Percy reiterates that Ray's statements seemed retaliatory due to his numerous crimes that he'd, been arrested for currently. And since Tim's original statements were accepted by his military superiors as fact, and there's no evidence of the contrary that they could find, the DII is closed, so Tim's off the hook in that respect. And then after Commander West leaves, Sergeant Gray, is basically like, well, yeah, you're off the hook there, but you're not for this because he has to report Tim's actions to his Metro commander because he basically went rogue and didn't follow protocol and roped Lucy and Angela into all of this, of course. And so, Elena could have been killed, and what would have happened if that had occurred, and that would have been worse. And Gray basically, just like that's how it is, and tells Tim that, and he just kind of dismisses him. And so we see Lucy waiting for Tim outside in the parking lot, and they hug, and obviously he tells her that he'd lied about everything, to save his job, to protect her and Angela. And Lucy says that he would have done, or that she would have done the same thing if she were in his position. But he tells her that she would never have been in his place because she wouldn't have put self-interest above a team, which I thought was kind of, I don't know, interesting. I keep saying interesting. I don't really know of a better word. Just because of like Eric's earlier interview when he said, of Tim's like actions, he wants to put like his safety and self-interest like below that. But then like, it showed that his character actions and had done the opposite with consequences. And so he goes on to say that he lied to two men that he respects, on the job, and he betrayed everything that he stands for, and he just can't go back to how things were after all of the lies. And Lucy asks if he's breaking up with her. He doesn't say yes. He simply says that he's sorry. And Lucy tells him that it's not okay what he's doing. He doesn't get to lie to her and then use that as an excuse to leave her. And what kills me is that Tim knows that. He knows that what he's doing is not okay. And he tells her that she's an incredible person and that she deserves a much better, person than he is right now. And she's like pleading with him, why is he doing this? And he just says again that he's sorry, kisses her on the forehead, and walks away. And now I'm officially sad just talking about it.
Breaking Chenford fans' hearts.
Like,
Oh,
I can't. Yeah, it was a lot.
it was great. I really looked forward to that.
I mean, listen, Eric and Melissa knocked it out of the park as always, but my goodness, I was just not expecting it, nor was I expecting. I mean, I just want to say I appreciate that Lucy called him out on his actions not once but twice, like in the argument earlier and then in this, like, by saying like basically, yeah, what you're doing is not okay and like you can't just keep like basically, bullshitting me the entire time. And she's so right, and I thought it was, great that she said that. I mean, I can understand it from a psychological standpoint of why Tim, might want to sh immediately shut everyone out. because of his past with his, ex-wife and his, just internalized feelings of, not being enough for anyone. But at the same time, oh, it just hurts. It doesn't make me any less frustrated with how it, how it ended up for them.
Especially because I feel like Chenford's came so far and like he's really like opened up to her. I mean, like she was there with all of his dad stuff. Like it just, they've always kind of had that rapport bond, like that connection. And so for that to be kind of taken away because of this, like, yes, it does sting a little bit, but I also feel like Melissa had said in that one interview, like she has enough like self-awareness to be like, I'm gonna give him his time, but I'm also not gonna give this up. And like I feel like she'll not like grovel and like pine after him, but she'll kind of be like, okay, you've had your time, like let's figure this out. And I feel like Tim will at that point maybe be a little bit more open to it. I don't know.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
No.
It'll also be interesting to see how he does in therapy because
Yeah,
we
if
saw
that's,
Aaron do therapy.
yeah, if that's where it's going for him, yeah.
And Aaron seemed pretty open to it. But I don't know. Old Tim Bradford would be like, I don't need this. This is ridiculous. I'm
Oh
not.
no, are you kidding? Yeah. Season one, Tim would just be like, therapy. What's
Yeah.
therapy? I'm gonna go hit something instead.
Yeah. And I kind of wonder if Tim, like, if that's still gonna be his mindset, or I mean, if that really ever was, we can only assume. But I also feel like maybe because it's the department like mandated or whatever, that it'll kind of be different. Like, I don't know. It'll be.
Yeah, possibly.
I'm intrigued to see it though, because I'm also intrigued to see Tim's like hard, rough, tough exterior side come back in a different way. And also, like, is this gonna allow him to be partners with Selena again and like actually have a rookie that he has to like help kind of shape? I don't know. We never saw any more behind the scenes footage of them like working together, him and Lisette, but like that doesn't mean that it didn't happen. They could have just not posted about it because it would have been a spoiler then, in a way. So,
Yeah, literally, meanwhile, you had Danielle Campbell just like drop the photo of her and Eric and Drew. And I was like, girl, did you mean to drop this right now? Or did you mean to like hold off a little bit?
But yeah, it'll be interesting. And it kind of explains why she's still around, right? Because like she has to now work with someone else from the unit. And I feel like when it was announced that she was going to come on, they didn't say that it was going to be like a multiple different characters she would be working with, but it was going to be like, we're going to see how therapy and like the psych stuff is like roped into policing. So it kind of like they were teasing it all along that it was going to be someone else, not just Aaron. But I also wouldn't mind seeing Nyla go through something because I feel like she's still got stuff bottled up that it would be good to see her kind of go through. Plus, I mean, I would also think like her and the whole stuff with Leah being taken like literally right out of her crib has got to have messed her up in some way. And I mean, even like opening up on her whole attack when Lila was a kid, like, I don't know. I feel like all of the characters could use some therapy in some way.
There.
But yeah, so I don't know. Chenford's on a bumpy road, but I think it'll be fine. We just have to make it through the rest of the season and hope and pray that we get a season 7, which I think we will. I think it'll be fine. But I don't know. We shall see. Is that it? That's it for the episode. Oh my gosh. We made it. We made it. Well, not quite because we have listener thoughts, but like we've made it through the Chenford deep dive and the cases. So So we have a couple of listener thoughts. Our first one is from Shannon. She said, "I love this wonderful show. It just keeps getting better and better. Great cast, writers, directors and crew." So.
And Becky said, "Kudos to Eric and Melissa for an emotional performance. It was a heartbreaking ending. I hope Tim can get through this, and maybe down the road, Tim and Lucy can get back together." Yeah, here's hoping.
Sheila said, "My first thought is Melissa did warn us that this season was going to focus on mental health, and that's what led to Chenford's breakup." Yeah, like Tim's feeling unworthy of Lucy's love because he lied to IA to protect his career, and he has no idea that Lucy did that too in season one. When I was typing that, I was like, does he have no idea though? I know that she lied on that report when he got hurt.
I mean, I think that they're referring to when she and John were together that one night, and then there was an inquiry about, what, the whoever that guy was that wanted to kill him, like, heard a second voice in the background, and then so, she had to lie and say that. Well, one, that she had no interest in John's love life because she wasn't a part of said love life. And then two, like, she wasn't actually in the apartment or his guest house or wherever the heck he was staying. My goodness, season one feels like forever ago.
The guy's house. Oh yeah, I forgot all about that. I blocked out Nolan and Lucy,
I mean,
whatever
fair.
they were. I blocked that out. That was no. That's right though. Yeah, because when I first saw that, I was like, the only thing that I could think of was 120 or whatever when Tim gets hurt and Lucy's like, I'm trying to protect you right now. That's the only thing that I could think of. But yeah, you're right. She did, because I remember that's when Talia was like, you have to be careful. Sheila also said, "I loved Nyla in this episode. I think this episode hinted that Selena will be moving in with Lucy when Tamara moves out." People got that assumption and I just didn't. Like, it went right over my head. So
Yeah, I didn't catch it until my second time.
I would assume that maybe John, because then I'm thinking like, well, how will Lucy know? But maybe John kind of like throws it out there to Lucy, like, hey, Selena's looking for a new place, and Lucy's like, oh, well, Tamara's moving out. But yeah, so Sheila also said, "I loved our dose of Smitty. He makes me smile." And how did Angela find Tim? She put a hush hush bolo on him. True. But I could also see her having like Tim and a couple of others on like Find My Friends. I don't know if you need permission from the other person to put them on there, but I could see her doing that and like other people not really knowing just because she wants to stay up to date with where her people are, you know?
The Carl Sheik said that Tim's character growth was just thrown out the window, and he's back to being season one Tim and shutting everyone out and self-isolating, which is not good. And everyone is undermining Lucy and him leaving Lucy because he thinks it's best for her, but it isn't. It hurts. So true.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Like, he's going back to season one, Tim, by shutting everyone out and self-isolating. He was doing that at first, but then at some point, he was kind of like, yeah, I do need to like clue them in, at least to like some of what was happening. But yeah, I think season one, Tim is gonna come back, but like not necessarily to the extent maybe that it was before. But I guess we shall see. Chenford L0517 said, "I loved tonight's episode. It was amazing. I hated that they broke Chenford up though. I hoped for a makeup scene and we didn't have that, but I do have faith that they'll get back together." I feel like them going through all of this and like them working through their struggles or whatever, like on their own and together, just not in a relationship, will just it'll make it better. Like when they do come back. So.
Jenny said, I'm gonna need them to fix Chenford and fast because I love them. I mean, I'm sure that is the mood for like maybe 50% at least of the fandom. Jenny also said that Nolan trying for a baby is sweet. She doesn't need them to get pregnant right away or even have a kid. They just think it'd be a fun storyline for them, the trying parts with struggles of parenting at that point in their lives, maybe. And she's here for Tim Angst because that usually results in learning more about a character, and he'll likely even face more demons of his past. Yeah, probably so.
Holly said, Balin doesn't normally bother me, but I could have done without the baby storyline. It feels filler and pointless. We know it's not going anywhere. There was enough happening on this episode without it. Agreed.
Yeah, that's a succinct way to sum up what I had already said way earlier. Yeah.
Melissa and Eric killed their scenes. All of their interactions this episode were top tier. I don't think this Chenford breakup is for good. I never considered this was the end for them. It's just a speed bump in the storyline. Yeah, same.
And last but not least, Lauren said that the Chenford breakup is sad, but it's going to give their relationship some more juice, and the angst is gonna be so good. It's going to make their comeback good as well.
And with that, you've made it to the end of this episode. So pat yourself on the back because
Yeah.
this is a long
Go
run.
have some ice cream.
I don't think I would say watch the Chenford breakup scene again, but like you can watch all the happy moments. So
Yeah. But watch it be the clip that ABC decides to post, and then I'll feel obligated to screen record it and post it to Twitter for our content later. So we'll see. Maybe not. Maybe they'll surprise me, but
Yeah, I don't know. You do post parallels, though. So,
I know I do.
from other shows, and you're like, it's coming. I'm like, oh, I know. It's gonna hurt. So, but anyway, you can find us on Twitter at the Shop Talk Pod underscore, or email us at shoptalktherookiepodcast@gmail.com with all of your thoughts, whether it's about the rookie, other shows. You can also find this individually on Twitter as well. I'm at jstark804.
And I'm at Carrie Hyman.
And we're on TikTok as well at the Shop Talk Podcast underscore. So make sure to follow us there too. And don't forget to check out our T Public store for merch. They do have a sale going on now. It's like $16 classic tees and like up to 35% off. So that's cool.
That's
On
fun.
everything else. And then, as for our schedule, we're gonna take a break like the rookie is because we real life is doing things. And because after this episode, we kind of just need like a break. But yeah, we'll be back on May 2nd with a new episode covering 607. So until then, bye everyone.
Bye, guys.
Go get them, boo.